Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into this week's Apples to Apples. We are two-thirds full in the hosting booth.
This is getting really complicated with
I don't mean schedule. To blame you, because this is the week I asked to do it today, but you're the one with the...
Why am I the busiest one of the three of us?
That's what I was about to say. You're the one with the incredibly busy and what I believe to be successful baseball schedule.
Well, yes, but there's a dark side to being a varsity baseball coach, you know, so dealing with stuff that you don't want to deal with. And that's on top of a lot of games, there's been that stuff going on, too.
Plus team
meals, stuff like that, you know.
I didn't say it wasn't understandable. I just, you're genuinely the busiest one.
I know, it just doesn't make any sense. I guess, though, August 1st through March, then I'm the least busiest one.
I'm just texting our third co-host to make sure. We'll get him tuned in. Yeah, listen, between August and, March or whatever, it's sort of, you're like, I don't do anything. You don't do anything.
I think that's safe.
Yeah, I don't want to make you sound...
No, I mean, I still give back to the world.
You give back to the community, yeah.
The world.
I save the world. Yeah. We are the world.
I mean, I'll be getting on a school bus. I just left from one show.
I was actually going to ask you about that. Your double duty, how that's...
I don't know if I've ever done a quicker turnaround. Just got off the air at 11:30 Central Time. And... then turning back around, not even a half an hour later, or 40 or hour later. That's bad. I don't know how to tell time.
That's okay. I mean, here's my question.
Oh, and? Before your question. And that's actually driving the star of the show to and from the show. So I had to drop him off.
Oh, you're the chauffeur now as well?
Not usually, but yeah, today.
Today. I was going to say, do you believe... that the dual show will make you better or worse in this one?
Oh, I think this show always makes me worse.
I mean, I know that.
If it went the other way around.
Based off your normal performances, you would normally perform on this show.
Well, this show is difficult because I always write and you guys aren't, so I always have to try to scale back a little. But
wouldn't you always be right on? Like, I would assume you bring the same opinions and thoughts to Connor's show.
Yeah, but Connor's got a more...
Are we on the air?
No. What? Who's that?
Can you hear me?
Sam! That's Sam! Sam.
Yeah.
That was smooth. We were way better when we dialed Sam in late. Was that last week or 2 weeks ago? This one didn't go as well.
Well, Sam came in hot this week.
Well you told me we weren't on the air.
Well, I lied. We were.
Well, why would you lie?
I don't know. That's it just true. It felt right, natural. I don't know.
Well, I thought I could get all my my vocal warm-ups out of the way now, but
how
I guess
now,
I should
how
know.
Now, bro?
Yeah. Speaking of that, we are in heavy allergy season here.
Holy. Oh, it's terrible. It's not as bad here, obviously, just being in New York. Although I will say, I think I'm allergic. This is going to sound crazy. Bear with me. I think I'm allergic to the foliage of New York more than I'm allergic to the foliage of Minnesota, because I used to have really bad allergies. Then I got better and I never had them really in DC. And now here, I don't have them now because we're in May and it rained for like a week straight. But we went up, you know, left the city. Not that there's a lot of trees here, but they were pretty bad. I think I'm more allergic here than at home.
They're so bad around here right now that our assistant in the office bought 3 air purifiers to scatter around the office.
Yeah, it's like snow in the...
And somehow I got put on duty of in charge of reading the entire instruction manuals and how they work.
Oh, yeah, that's always great.
Well, obviously...
I can't tell you how many pieces
of... They couldn't trust you to do real work.
Jobs.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Are you sure the air purifier is not to take the fentanyl out of the air?
Well,
Yeah, there is one thing. I thought I heard you say fire. But the forest fires, knock on wood, they're...
But
I thought your dad's voice must have mixed up. But the forest fires are not around San Francisco or California right now, but we are drowning in water, so I don't know.
And you're surrounded by water. I mean, I don't know how you'd have a forest fire, but
there's a lot of California that's not surrounded by water.
Northern California was under fire the past few years. I got sent home from school early. You know that.
Yeah, no, but I meant where you are right now. But
The Bay Area, not known for that.
Back to the allergy thing, and I was just talking to someone about this yesterday. I feel like you guys sort of developed allergies a little later, but you had some when you were in high school, but I didn't feel like they were that bad, and I didn't have them in high
school. Mine were, like, really bad. Like, do you remember that one year how bad they were? You guys had to go get me, like, a real prescription, and then I never took it again.
Yeah.
I had one year. They were brutal.
It seems like at baseball, yesterday we were talking, like, 80% of the kids have allergies, and mine and a couple of the coaches. It just seems like more people have allergies these days. Now, I'm sure there's some sort of global warming connection that I'm not aware of, but
it seems like more people
have allergies now.
I think it's they're saying this about young kids too. Young kids in general get sick all the time, but
yep.
COVID and being inside all the time
maybe
did damage on everybody's immune system. So
yeah,
now everybody's more likely to get sick when you go, and it's more true of young kids. Normally young kids are out experiencing other people and whatever.
Probably makes sense with allergies too, because they could use to fight them off. They'd be able to fight them off. No, I mean, I just said it. We just were talking about it yesterday. It's amazing. Like, all of us are just, we can't breathe. And and obviously
I'm sure there's more of the pollen for whatever reason is higher too. But they did do a study about children specifically more likely to get sick and less likely to fight off sick. I mean, not like serious, like, sicknesses. I'm talking colds, allergies, the flu, whatever. COVID, obviously. Like, when you're not faced off with germs because you're locked inside for a year and a half.
Speaking of...
I was applying to adults.
You know what you're supposed to do, though,
if you have allergies?
You're supposed to
have local, that too. Local honey. The problem is none of us really like honey.
I don't mind it, but what am I going to do? Just...
Wait, why does it have to be local?
Yeah.
Because the honey is made from the bees that pollinate the flowers. Yeah, I learned this from my roommate. She's looking at me like, "Why are you? You're
well,
my surprise." Bees pollinate flowers. Flowers have the pollen that gives you allergies. The bees then make the honey. So yeah, it has to be local because they have to be the bees that have pollinated flowers in your area.
Question:
how do we know the honey we buy from the store is local?
Well, most likely if you're buying it from the store and it's in the little bear, it's probably not local. But
we live in Minnesota,
like a farmer's market.
I'm assuming most of the bees go to Florida for the winter. So what if they're making the honey in Florida when they come back?
It doesn't matter because it's the pollen. It's the bees are pollinating certain flowers, and then those bees are making honey. And it's where are those flowers and those plants?
Okay, well, that's a lot about bees and honey today, but that's not a bad – I mean, the sports sucks.
Just
why
a PSA. The PSA for everybody out there. If you have bad allergies, find local honey.
Do you know how they say –
honey and apples, very Jewish.
You know the saying – oh, yeah, apples and honey.
Yeah.
That is the only time I ever eat honey is with apples, ironically.
You can put it on pizza.
Honey?
Yeah, now they make, like, spicy honey. They put it on pizza. It's really good. It's a big thing out here. I have some, Sam. When you're here, you can try it.
That's exactly what Sam's going to try.
Yeah, Sam's not a big spice guy.
Or honey on pizza. But you know how they say it's a small world?
Their chicken cutlets are currently being made specifically for Sam. And when I say specifically, I mean they're about to go bad, so we used him as an excuse.
Oh. When are you going? Wait. Before that, you know how they say it's a small world? Not just at Disney, they say.
Not
that.
Just Disney, yeah. No, I'm aware.
Yeah, I mean, it is true, but there are, 8 billion people in the world? Is that small?
Okay.
Is it really that small?
Ironically, on Monday at baseball, we played Centennial, who is coached by Sam's former coach, Bobby Lynch. I'll give him a shout out, Bobby Lynch. And then, so that's
there's a lot of Bobbies in your life.
I know there are.
I have zero Bobbies in my life. Actually, it's not true. I do have one Bobby in my life.
Bobby Boucher?
No, I do like Bobby Boucher. I'm trying to think how to say this. No one listens. He has a daughter that daughter's grandfather you know quite well. His name is Bobby. Not the grandfather, the father.
Oh. Oh. Yeah, I know.
That connection, I won't go into further detail. That person's name is Bobby.
Got. Oh, interesting. So, ironically, Bobby Lynch, I saw him Monday at baseball. And then tomorrow, Saturday. What's that?
How's he doing?
He's doing well. I told him Sam still feels betrayed by him, so I can't really say hi to him. And he said he understood, but say hi to Sam anyways. And then on a side note, Sam, I think I forgot to text you, but your buddy from North St. Paul, James, said to say hi to you Wednesday night.
Were there any Yahtzees involved?
No Yahtzees. There was a Love 15. And but that's not the ironic part. Then so tomorrow, which is Saturday, which could be the same day you're actually listening to this, our 9A coach is out of town. And our 9A assistant is new to coaching. So we needed someone to go with him to coach. And the other Bobby in my life asked, would you mind? I'm going to stay with the JV. Would you mind driving to this school to coach? And I'm like, nope, that's fine. It's Saturday morning. Guess where I'm going? Totino Grace. Guess who the coach is, Drew?
Of 9A baseball?
Yes.
Wow. I don't know how I put this nicely, but if it's who I think it is, his coaching career has maybe taken a turn in the wrong direction.
Well, he umpires in summers, if that tells you anything. Oh,
okay. Well, that's good because he didn't like umpires a lot. So now
right.
at least he
yeah.
can.
So you're right on track. So yeah. Your coach, your ex-coach.
It's actually, it's funny you're saying this. I have something I have to say after.
Yeah, so in 1 week span, I'm dealing with both your ex-coaches. Go ahead.
Well, first off, I think it's incredibly ironic that he's now umpiring, but it's probably best because I guarantee you he said to himself, I just have to go do it myself because I would do it better.
On a side note, we had him like 3 times last year. He's actually pretty good. I think Sam.
There's not a doubt in my mind that
He's that good.
Sam doesn't think so.
Doesn't think any umpires.
I know
good.
Sam's so better.
If they're
I had him as when I was coaching. I mean, it wasn't even when I was playing.
Yeah, no, Sam was coaching.
Yeah. Well, then you hate him even more.
I think
nobody hates referees and umpires more than Sam. I think.
Well, I mean, I don't hate them all. My buddy Maurer is pretty good on the bases.
And he 2 weeks ago said to say hi to you.
Like Kenny Maurer?
No, his cousin.
His brother.
Mark.
Cousin, whatever it is.
Mark.
Does Kenny Maurer still ref basketball in the...
No, he was kicked out.
I mean, I meant football, like around us.
Yes. The whole clan does it together.
He wasn't very good at football.
No.
Kenny Maurer.
The whole family does it together. They're the staff. They're the crew.
I'm assuming Joe hasn't... Sign
not
up.
Joe.
Those kind of trying to keep track at home. Kenny Maurer, former NBA referee, kicked out of the NBA Referees Association because he refused to get the vaccine. Throughout all of this, has refereed high school football in the greater Twin Cities area.
Along with his cousin.
Uncle of Joe Maurer.
Yes.
And his cousin promised me Warriors tickets, and I'm still waiting on him, but he is one of the best umpires we've had.
And we have him all the time, and he always says to say hi to Sammy. And he, so like when I see him, he hugs me and stuff. And then the other coaches get a little upset that the guy, why is these two people hugging?
The guy in the wheelchair was actually a pretty good ump. He just got
to
play the ball a lot.
Yeah, that was the only problem with him was he couldn't move. But when
he ran over the catcher's foot twice.
Yeah, I mean he could call balls and strikes very well.
Well, what was great, I'm sort of trying to be funny, but I'm not. He was at the perfect eye level.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. He might.
That was
like most umpires are old and can't really squat down right. He's right there. I mean,
I'll
no
never
one's
forget. I went. I, there was like a crazy play. The ball's like in his lap. The catcher's...
Do you think people think we're? I mean, the 7 people that listen to this show. Do you think they think we're joking about?
No,
the
this is true umpire? Story.
I know that they're like, well, of course they would say that.
Yeah, for those listening, we're waiting at a state tournament game semifinals, I believe. Sammy's. What were you, 10 or 11, 12? I don't even remember.
Must have been 10 or 11 because we went far in state those 2 years.
Yeah, so we're in the semis. We're waiting. Where's the umpire? And all of a sudden, there's a guy in a wheelchair that's wheeling down, and someone jokingly said, oh, there he is. And he wheels right up and into the stadium, and there he was. And there was a play, I don't know, something weird happened. And I come out to talk to him, and he goes, you're not coming to argue, are you? And I go, no, I just need clarification. He goes, oh, come on over. I'm like, sir, when the ball lands in your lap, what exactly is the catcher supposed to do? He's digging around back there. He's only going to dig so long before he grabs one of the balls. I what are we doing? And he didn't really have a great answer for that. He's like, well, it's just part of being in play. I'm like, okay. And then Sam, I think, had to dive around the wheelchair at home at one point. So I went out again to say, what do you want our runners to do? It was a disaster.
But when he was calling balls and strikes, he was pretty good.
Yeah, I know. The ball, there was never any pass balls because if it got by the catcher, it was in his lap. So yeah, it was all good.
Right.
Bizarre.
That's a true story, everybody.
Yeah, no.
I had him multiple times. Although I feel like I only had him behind the plate once. The other couple times he was out,
to Sam's point, on the bases.
And then he like really can't get – how many times did he get hit with a ground ball?
It wasn't good.
Yeah, you're
subject to same thing.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're playing shortstop or second base, and he's standing sitting directly in front of you, so you can't see the ball.
Not problems we had, obviously, you and I.
No. Save your cards and letters that were discriminating against. It's not. We're just telling you what happened. It's factual.
Yeah, and I also think we complimented him, to be fair.
He's the best.
What I was going to say, bringing this back to the coaches, and people you're coaching with now, notwithstanding, because those are former coaches of ours as well, do you have a favorite or least favorite, whichever you think is funnier, former coach between the two of us? You can't count yourself or me, obviously.
We love Coach Inge.
I opened with you can't count people you're currently coaching with.
Awkward. By the way, Coach Inge's son Joey is getting married today.
Today? Oh, congrats. Yep. I knew it was. I actually sort of knew it was soon somehow, but.
Yep. Today, so he's missing the game. I can't remember the name of the place.
I bet I can find his wedding website.
Yeah, but so I am pitching coach tonight.
That's not gonna go well. You don't know anything about pitching.
That's what I said. But so favorite ex coach.
And they were just like, okay.
Well, they're dead. I mean, what's our
alternative? Their wedding website just says Minneapolis, so okay.
Yeah, yesterday I do know because Coach Inge put it on. The groom's dinner for 60 people was at Pinstripes in Edina. Very nice.
Oh, great place. Did they bowl as well?
Yep. They rented the bowling, had the outside area. It was a nice night, overlooking the water and stuff. So yeah, so that's where they had the groom's dinner. Now, last time
60 people's not crazy. I mean, it's a lot, but
no. Well, like, for a groom's
dinner, if you invite family and significant others of the
park, they didn't want the 60. According to him, they started out not going to invite all this family, and then it just kept adding on.
Sure.
It did go very well because the last time we were at Pinstripes, which was about
we know.
Yeah, there was an active shooter, and we had to leave.
Yeah, you told that
did not happen. Favorite ex coach. Or
least favorite, whichever you think is funny. Well, but if you're gonna go least favorite, I'd be a little bit.
I mean, your ex Legion coach caused me a lot of aggravation because I was on the Legion board and he wrote that scathing email to all the parents that didn't go very well when he said that there's only one person that cares about what's going on and they know who they are, which alienated 17 other families. So. He caused me some aggravation.
That's the guy that's now an umpire, by the way, for those keeping track at home.
But I get a kick out of him. I don't know. I mean, I did like Bobby Lynch, I'll be honest, but
he probably listens too.
He wasn't your coach.
He was your coach.
My personal coach? Well, my personal coach, ironically, Donnie Ging, big shout out. Ran into him 2 days ago. He coaches Stillwater 9A.
He still coaches.
Wait, he coaches Stillwater 9B. Do you want to hear just the bizarre story that I can
didn't
sort of...
Stillwater?
He was at
South St. Paul basketball, like...
He was South St. Paul varsity baseball coach, and then freshman baseball coach, and then basketball coach at South St. Paul. Yeah.
I think I played against his, whatever he coached basketball, I played against him.
So listen to this. We'll get to sports, but listen to this story. So
this is sports.
So it was 9B. This was Wednesday. We had a late game, so we were taking batting practice. Our 9B team was on the field. The Stillwater bus pulls up, and the team gets off. And there's no coach on this bus? And he's on, and all of a sudden, 15 minutes later, he emerges from the bus. And he comes running over to me, Scott, how do I? And so I hug him, we're talking. So this, Drew, do you remember your very first day at Georgetown when we were walking at it wasn't a job fair, but the fair where they had all the clubs and stuff.
I do.
Do you remember when you walked up to the rowing team?
No, I don't think I actually did that, but sure.
You started to walk over in that direction and the guy basically put his hand up and said, don't come over here.
I don't remember that, but I believe that happened, but
then you went to club baseball.
Well, I was probably trying to read what the sign said.
I don't think you were attempting to join the squad. There's no question. Stop to it. But. Listen to this story. So Donnie's telling me that the bus driver who dropped him off is the head rowing coach at the University of Minnesota. I'm like, okay. He dabbles in bus driving, apparently. And he's looking, do you have any big, strong kids that are going to the University of Minnesota? And I'm like, well, that kid right there in the cage, he goes, he's perfect. I go, I didn't even say anything yet. I said, he's going to the U. And he goes, he's perfect. Let's go. I go, where are we going? He goes, let's go. He goes, you got to introduce me. I'm like, okay. We walk over and I call the kid over who Sam knows. Oh, I don't care. I'll just say it. Fritz, your guy Fritzy, Sam?
Yep.
He gives him this whole spiel. Now, Donnie's getting a little old, so he must have asked him his first name probably 12 to 100 times. He basically recruited him for the rowing team at University of Minnesota. He says they have tons of money. They have more money than any other sport. They got NIL money, scholarship money, and he put him in touch with the bus driver, and they're going to chat at some later time.
I can't even say that's unbelievable because I totally believe that they're that.
Nothing against the most
bizarre story.
Nothing against Fritzy because I'm a short king myself, but he's not that tall, so they recruited him to be the coxswain or what?
He said he's perfect, so I don't know. I'll be totally honest with you, and I don't say this very often. It's not a lot. I don't know a lot about the rowing community. I do think they usually want taller people, but he is built like an ox and not the shortest guy in the world, but not the tallest either, so... But apparently, and he says there's a lot of, so there, I don't know if anything will come of it. But if we see him in the Olympics one day, we were there. That's how the guy got recruited. Most bizarre.
That is so good.
The bus driver and the coach.
That's so good.
And that's my ex-coach, who is probably my favorite coach. So there, I think we're done. And that was a great show. Tune in next week. Sam won't be on it, but.
You never know.
Sam will be here, but not on it. But before we get into more important stuff, thank you for tuning in. No, we have like half the show up. However you found us, how you need to find us next time if you're in the Twin Cities areas, you need to tune in.
There's zero chance people are still listening after that first 15 minutes.
Probably.
Really?
Unless they're listening on the radio because they're just driving around and they're still listening and they can't drive distracted.
I find this stuff way more interesting than the same old crappy sports that we have.
Well, this time of year specifically, because we're down to, as I talked about last week, we're down to one team and it's May of a 162 game season. I have a hard time caring one way or the other.
Right.
I saw a graphic the other day. I'll see if I can find it. That was like, we're 20, whatever, we're 30, whatever it was. We're X amount of games into the baseball season. What does that mean compared to other sports? It was pretty funny. I'll look it up when we're talking about stuff. But for those listening, if you're in the Twin Cities area, where you need to listen next time is on WFNU 94.1 FM, Frogtown Community Radio. That is live every Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Central, so when you're getting your Saturday morning underway, you're going out, you're getting coffee, donuts, bagels, whatever you do to start your day. If you're my dad, you're going to get beef sticks from your local deli at 7 a.m. Sure, because they're sold out by the time you get there at a normal time. 7 a.m. Central, WFNU 94.1 FM, Frogtown Community Radio, and also Sunday, bright and early, 1 a.m., your Saturday heading into your Sunday at 1 a.m. Sunday. You can also stream on WFNU.org, and they have an app. Go look it up, the WFNU app. You can find us on Spotify and all that stuff. But what really matters is WFNU. And right after us, but ironically, taped right before.
I know. I'm so confused right now. I don't even know what to say.
Was Connor's Corner. We briefly talked about that. Dad, you
I don't even remember.
Fun? Yeah,
it was a good show. I just stay tuned and find out. Connor talked.
Yeah, just stick around. You're already halfway through our show.
Philip was with us today, so Katie's in Greece, so we talked a little bit.
That's exciting. We're in Greece. Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure Athens came into play at some point.
You would think so. Well, I don't know. She could be going to, like, the islands. Like, that's a bit different.
I think it is more like that. She might be on a cruise. I don't know why I think that.
Oh, a Mediterranean cruise. Very nice. I know somebody who's trying to get a trip to a Mediterranean cruise.
You do?
Yeah. She's taking on a babysitting job.
A bird sitting job?
A bird sitting job, yeah.
It might be a baby to some people.
Well, I think you can take the might part out.
Okay. Really briefly.
Weird. Congratulations to the Twins, too, on making another trade for a guy that's arm is falling off. But go ahead. Is it bad luck or is it a pattern?
I think it's the reality of pitchers in 2023. We'll get to baseball. So I'm going to set the stage. I want to talk about something separate very quickly.
Go for it.
Then we'll get to baseball. And then I have what may be a bit of a hot take I want to conclude
on. Oh.
18 different pitchers already this year in the major leagues have had their seasons end and have to have Tommy John surgery. 18.
No,
that is crazy.
I think
a part of it is just a lot of things going on.
But the two guys that recently did it, we knew they had arm problems. But yeah.
The only thing I will say, Paddock, you're right. We also gave up nothing for Paddock. And for Molly, the pre-sustained injury was completely unrelated to a Tommy John related injury.
Yeah, no, I get that.
And we've made other moves.
And they sucked anyways. Who cares?
Well, I think Molly was pretty good. It's just half. He only had, what, 6 or 7 healthy starts. And to be honest, the guys we gave up for him are terrible. One is like, would fit right in on our roster. He's hitting 200. I think the other they cut, and then another guy's in like double A with like and he's 0-4 or something like that. So I don't think we exactly gave up, you know, Babe Ruth. But we'll talk more about Twins baseball in a second. I just thought that Tommy John thing was crazy. So the Gophers signed a tight end prospect, which not really the point of what I'm
saying. Wow. A little early for Fleck you, but go for it.
In doing so, I just happened to be scrolling through their recruiting for 2024. Mm-hmm. Now, some of this is quantity based, so it won't stick this way. Mm-hmm. But they have the 15th overall recruiting class for 2024.
Wow.
And like, it's not that early. Like, that's pretty crazy, actually. And here's maybe the crazier part. They have the 15th best. Huh?
That's next year.
Yeah. And half those guys will probably be enrolled by January.
Right.
They have the 15th best recruiting class in the country. Would you like to guess what rank they are in the Big Ten?
13th.
Are we 10th?
We're 5th, which is still crazy. There's 4 ahead of us, and we're 15th in the country.
Apparently, my roommate does not get the hint or the text that I'm on the show.
Well, you have two roommates now. Well, you have a sublet.
Oh, my God. I forgot. He left for work. Go ahead. Huh? We did get the car sort of fixed, if you're wondering, the third car.
I was waiting on pins. So, anyways.
Mark, go ahead.
I thought that was just really interesting. And, again, doesn't mean a lot. It might mean nothing. It's some of it's quantity-based. For example, we're one spot ahead of Arkansas, whose average recruit is better than us, but they have 2 less. So it'll all even out. Probably end up somewhere in 20, 25, which is still pretty good. But 15th, that was surprising to me.
I'm very surprised by that. Yeah, I did see that we got this guy from a lot of different places. There's a lot of teams that wanted him.
Well, and one of them was Iowa. And whenever you get a tight end that Iowa wants, it probably bodes well. Anyways, that was my question.
But there's a fatal flaw to that. I think we have 23 star recruits and 0 4 and five star.
Yeah, like I said, quantity is part of it, so we won't end up at 15. I'm not saying we'll, but like, it's still not exactly early in the cycle. 15th is pretty good.
Yeah.
Just I was fascinated. I would have thought 50, not 15. Even this, you know.
It is a little hard to believe. That is true. Especially considering where we're usually at. But the problem is. The problem is, to your point, that by the time they get here, I'm sure something's going to go wrong. I mean,
the Big Ten is just how competitive is that? We're fifth and yeah. We're 15th.
And I think Wisconsin's going to be off the charts good this year with a good coach.
Yeah, I think they'll be better, but I'm not sold on that.
Although that wide receiver that they took back, he's in trouble. He's not going there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I was not impressed with the quarterback that they're now like all relying on and the little bit he played last year. I don't know. I mean, maybe they'll
Do you want a little Eric Halla trivia I just saw?
I know what you're about to – I actually know what you're going to
you
say.
You do?
I do.
First player to ever get eliminated in the playoffs by the same team 3 years in a row while playing for three different teams.
Yeah, I would probably go sign with that team is Carolina. He's lost to Carolina 3 straight years. I'd probably go sign with Carolina.
Okay, can I tell you something? I didn't even know Carolina was still playing.
Well, they just beat New Jersey last night.
Which would mean they're still playing. I guess I don't
follow. Can I also say something?
Yeah.
SportsCenter, who is known for the second worst tweets on Twitter, and then Magic Johnson is number one. They tweeted, Carolina has advanced to the Western or Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since 2019. That was only 4 years ago.
Yeah, that is.
It's not that big of an accomplishment.
As opposed to Minnesota, who had. Yeah, that does not.
Well, we went once, 2000 and whatever, but.
Yeah. Yeah, Sam's right.
It didn't go very well.
That doesn't.
I think they could have done better with that one.
Let's put it this way. Second time in 4 years sounds pretty impressive versus first time since 2019.
Exactly.
Does not feel like
second time in 5 years, but still.
I regret. Also, I mean, if we ever make it to the conference finals, you think there's ever going to be a tweet about us? I mean, we won't. So
I'm sure there won't. We're the new Maple Leafs, and they got all that press, and now they suck. But
Maple Leafs did well.
They won the first round, finally.
That's true. I don't want to be
not
negative.
Quite as long as it had been for them, but
I just feel like, I'm just gonna keep it at that. I'm not gonna be negative.
I feel like this round of the hockey playoffs is not worth talking about. It has been
I don't care
so bad. Every game is 5-4-1. It's insane.
I will say one thing. Go ahead, Sam.
For bettors out there, I bet the over of the Kraken Dallas game every time, and it's so I'm addicted to it because they hit every time, and I'm probably gonna lose next game because I mentioned it on the show. But
You Dick Bramered yourself.
I know I did. Maybe I won't do it next game. The Kraken Stars second period is actually I don't know what's going on, but there's so many goals scored in the second period, and the games are never close except for the last game. But to your point, this playoffs has never none of the games are close.
The first round had some close games in series. No, Every game. It's been ridiculous.
Who pitched for the Twins yesterday?
Bailey Ober.
Okay, so I flipped the channel on. And if for those that think that being Dick Bramered isn't a thing.
Oh, the home run thing?
Bailey Ober has not given up a home run this year. Was it a second later? The leadoff guy.
It was the next batter.
The first pitch. Guy hits a home run. Oh.
Yeah.
So for those of you that think it's not a thing, it's a thing.
So not to his credit, but he is he was aware of that because then in I think the bottom of the first, he's talking about Yu Darvish and he's like, now, I did it to he says, I did it to Ober in the first inning, so now, what I will say, Darvish has only let up 3 home runs all year, and all 3 of those were in Mexico City. Yeah. So,
that's not the same thing, Dick. It's
but he was aware. He knew he did it, which it was pretty funny.
And he's the first to say it's not a thing. Well, no.
Yeah. But I think he's starting to think it is.
Anyways, can I? I mean, are we jumping?
So speaking baseball.
Okay, because
I found the NFL
schedule thing. We got to chat about.
Okay, this I don't think we'll be on baseball long. The MLB season is 22.22% complete.
Oh, we were wondering.
Here's some comparisons and how much time has passed, and this is why I find a hard time thinking good or bad, like long term. Twins. Pitching's been very good. Lineup's been bad to inconsistent, whatever. But I'm not buying in one way or the other yet because of this. In the NFL season, the fourth quarter has just started in week four. In the NBA season, we're just about at the conclusion of the first quarter of the 19th game. Maybe like golf, we're on the fifth hole, the fifth tee. Maybe you're thinking about comparing it to your workday. It's 9:50 on Tuesday morning. This is why, I said last week, the inevitable end of Timberwolves and Wild season occurs, and May is like a cleanse of Minnesota sports for me because the baseball just doesn't matter right now. We saw it last year with the Twins. They were up however many games, and then they totally choked down the stretch. It's just so early, such a long season. Guys are going to get hurt. I have a hard time. I know I'll watch if I'm bored or whatever.
But well, it's a catch-22.
I find a hard time buying into it one way or the other.
It's a catch-22 because this is the only time to actually care because they're sort of competitive. But you, like I like to say, we know how it ends.
Yeah. Well, that's why I normally get back involved in June, which there's still some hope at that point. But it's weird. Well, they're beating good teams but can't beat bad teams. They just beat San Diego 2 out of 3. They've, beat the Yankees. They beat Houston, but they can't beat Chicago.
I really think the people running the team are complete idiots, and the coach we know is an idiot. Can I just give you an example of a play the other day that I think you guys saw? As baseball coaches,
that's what the show's for.
This is professional baseball. Runners on first and second, not extra innings, or maybe it was. I don't even think it was extra innings. Runners on first and second, no outs. They squared a bunt. Was it Chicago? Who were we playing before?
San Diego.
Maybe it was San. No, you know what? It was San Diego. They squared a bunt. Our third baseman goes charging. The guy pulls the bat back, and the guy on second steals third. And the look on Rocco's face was like, I never saw this coming. Are you kidding? That's what 12-year-old baseball does, and it actually works. Dear God.
I think he's a bad coach, but I also think part of the reason he's a bad coach is I don't think he has any idea how to communicate with his players. I just can't imagine Rocco and pick your favorite guy around the lineup, having a productive conversation. I don't think that look is I didn't see this coming. It's why were we not prepared for this? I don't know, dude, because you just sit there. I have never seen him do anything. Does anything.
And what do you work
at? It's not a matter of he probably thought to himself, they might bunt and they'll steal behind or whatever, but he never
and
does
then,
anything about it.
The next play, same with, the safety squeeze, and he looked even dumber.
Yeah, that awesome. One probably didn't see it coming, but why would you not see it coming after they just did what they did?
Yeah, it's
or,
just
or
great.
It's like,
but we don't
what
do
I
it.
Saw the other day, they like that, I can't remember exactly who it was against again, but Vasquez was up, and I think it was in extras, and he was trying to move a guy over. He fouled two bunts back, and then with two strut, and they showed Rocco, and he looked angry. Like, dude, just get a bunt down. I called it for once. I told you to do something. You can't.
Well, they don't work on it, so how are they going to get it down?
Yeah. No, I agree. Although to your 3 week ago point, he's from a different team, so he should probably be able to do it. But
yeah,
your Michael A. Taylor theory. But then And then Vasquez squares with two strikes and then pulls back. And then they show him again, and you're like, he's like, even then the look on his face is like, what the heck is this guy doing?
Well, then again, he struck out at a pitch over his head.
Right. And then again, they show him again, and I'm like, okay, at some point, I get you. I don't know how else to say it other than, you have to part of most of coaching, as you know, is not just saying what to do, but making sure it registers.
Right.
They're prepared. They just look consistently in a way unprepared.
They don't know how to do it on offense or defense.
Baseball's not a sport where you need a huge pep talk and motivational speech or anything, but can you imagine Rocco even giving a speech before the game with the game plan or telling them what they need to do or to motivate them to play well or anything?
The short answer is no.
Every little thing they don't know how to do. They don't know how to run the base. Not only do they not steal ever, they just don't know how to run the bases. The worst third base coach in the history of baseball.
I actually tweeted this the other day. Well, he's in St. Paul now, but Larnack got thrown out at home like a week ago. On the video, you literally see Tommy Watkins like telling him to stop, and he just runs right through it.
Yeah, no, there's that.
That's thrown out at home.
That's what I was like. It's a culture problem, and it's top to bottom. Your point, the base coach actually made a good decision for once, but the base coaches are horrible. The hitting coaches are.
The first base coach doesn't do anything. He seems like a good guy.
Yeah, I guess, but Hank? He's irrelevant.
No offense, Hank Conger. No offense to first base coaches out there, but they're definitely the lesser.
Yeah, Brian Myers, if you're listening, Drew was not taking a shot at you.
I was a first base coach. I didn't want that pressure of being at third. I don't have to remember how fast guys are.
The plate discipline's horrible. I mean, the trades are awful. It's top to bottom. Like
It's almost not even the players anymore. It never was. We've all sort of said this. They're just a poorly run organization. I give you a little
I think they've made some good trades. I do think trades are always going to miss. I think no one they've gotten rid of for the most part. No one in the last couple of years that they've gotten rid of has turned out to be some world.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with who they've gotten rid of other than Arise. I just don't think they've added anything.
Yeah. Well, I think they have, like Duran, we got in a trade. Do you remember who we traded for Duran? I'll give you, you're never going to guess. Eduardo Escobar. And two other guys we got.
That was a good trade.
Good trade. The Sonny Gray trade, we gave up some first round pick who's still in the minors 2 years later. Good trade. They've made some good trades, to be fair. I think whenever you trade for starting pitching, though, it's inherently at this point, the way guys are just constantly hurt, no matter how good, bad you are, like, it's risky. But you kind of have, like, they haven't, back to the organizational problem thing, they had to trade for aging, you know, injury-prone pitching because they hadn't developed any of their own. Now, it's starting to get a bit better. We have Ober and Varlin looks okay, but that's the problem. You shouldn't have to trade for 32-year-old guys. You should have your own, coming through the system. And they just.
I was at Varlin's hometown on Wednesday. Can I tell?
Trying to get a word in edgewise. Can you let the?
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, what other organization fires their coach and then hires them to be their AAA assistant? And then what other organization hires an assistant in the MLB who just got fired for constantly not making the playoffs?
Yeah.
It's absolutely. I know.
And I think I've been harping on this for like 9 years. Like, I just feel like they don't. And again, maybe it's getting a little bit better now, but like, I just feel like they don't develop all of this talent that they are able to draft. And I don't think it's a matter of it where they were never good, because now the last couple of years, again, maybe not. But how many guys left and succeeded elsewhere? And now you see it with, I think Miranda will be fine. He's in his second year. He just needs a reset. But like, Larnack and Lewis has two knee injuries, and it's just like I just feel like it's always such a struggle to get these high-end prospects to a level to like actively contribute, and that's hard for a team. I mean, if you look around, like Polanco's having a bit of a comeback year, Kepler's been okay, Buxton, I mean, they found a role that is working for him. He's having one of the better, most productive seasons of his career, but like, at some point, you can't keep going and trying to find guys like Gallo and Vasquez and, as Farmer, as good as they are. Those are positions and people you need to be able to develop from within your organization, I think. And you go get difference makers like Correa, That's who you go to free agency and pay for, not,
I know you guys are students, like you love baseball and the nuts and bolts of it, especially bunting. So we took a field trip Sunday to watch the University of St. Thomas play Oral Roberts. I know you two are huge Oral Roberts. The Owl fans. And
no, they're the Golden Eagles.
The Rice Owls. They're the Golden Eagles. And they're actually like 24th or 25th in the country, believe it or not. They have some monster guys. We started counting every single guy in their lineup, 1-9, for those of you that don't know how many guys bat in baseball. At one point in that game, attempted a bunt. It was the most amazing, crazy thing you've ever seen in your entire life. And I started crying. I was so emotional about it. Every single player tried at least one bunt in that game. That's baseball.
How many successful?
Probably six. It was insane. It was no pro. Well, some of them they pulled back because they were bad pitches, so they may have been 100%. But one time they bunted four players in a row, just sack. Then it was a safety squeeze, regular.
They pulled out everything.
Yeah.
And it's out of a curiosity question. What was like the final score of the game? Was it like 2-1? Is that how they just win games?
No, they won. They beat them. I believe it was 9-1.
Oh, okay. So
they came at them from 16th.
They're 16th in the country.
Okay,
I hope they weren't bunting when they were up 8.
No.
That's a good point, Sam.
Yeah, you could probably
I don't know if you saw, but there's a clip of a softball team trying to bunt. They were up 10-5, and the catcher threw the softball at the batter.
They swept the Tommies.
They did. Sunday. What was the score of Sunday's game?
8-1. You were close.
Oh, so I was, yeah.
They are 30. First off, it's insane they've played this many games. They're 37-11.
I know.
Their conference record, they're 20-1.
They are so good. I mean, and it's like Oral Rock. Well, I guess, you know, they're a big school in Tulsa, I believe. But, yeah. They're monsters on top of it.
They've lost one Summit League game. Would you like to guess who it was against?
I couldn't even imagine.
North Dakota State.
That's what I was going to guess.
They lost 2-4 in April against North Dakota State.
They're monsters.
16th in the country, Oral Roberts, Golden Eagles.
Yeah, I believe they started the week in the 20s when I saw them.
Yeah, I mean this is a new update.
My new favorite team, but they play. That's fun to watch. Which 16th. I get.
16th. Oh, this one has them not quite at 16th. They were.
Well, if you want to know about some West Coast baseball, the Santa Clara Broncos lost to number 4 Stanford 20-17.
What? Yeah. That's a college game.
Yeah, we were winning like 5-2, and then I think there was. It's like 14 runs scored in the final two innings.
Wow.
I think Georgetown's like almost exactly 500. They had a crazy score the other day. Like they lost, like I saw on Twitter, like I think they just beat somebody 17-1, but I think they also lost in the same week, like 20-7.
It's college. It's just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, well, but that's the thing. I mean, how many times is like, it's just, then it's all like kids just, you know, kind of giving.
I mean, I don't mean to be mean. Georgetown has its challenges where it's located. They don't have their own field, blah, 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 blah. There is no excuse for Santa Clara to not be in the top 20 every single year. That is a incredible. Well, obviously, we know the school and the weather, and it's an awesome field.
We have a horrible coach.
Well, he's from Stanford, I think.
Like the pitching coach or something.
Yeah. No, it's
Georgetown's men's. Georgetown's men's lacrosse team is an absolute powerhouse.
I saw them on TV the other day.
Yeah, they're 7th in the country. They play that tournament opens up tomorrow. I think they play Yale to start. Actually, jokes aside, they have kid who's like the lacrosse Heisman. Basically, he's up for he's a finalist for.
They call it lax in the business, but yeah, I knew.
Yeah, the lax Heisman. So they won the Big East, all that. I think the baseball team's okay. How much time do we have left? Go to your NFL schedule.
Okay. First of all, they build this whole thing up like it's going to be a huge event. And then I feel like we know the whole schedule by the time the huge event comes that night.
Well, you already know the teams. That's the other dumb
thing. Right, and then you already know the teams. Yeah. So what's your highlight from the Vikings? The fact that we don't have any cold weather games? The fact that it's the fifth easiest schedule? Like, what are your highlights?
No, it's like mid. It's like right.
No, I think they're one of the easiest schedules, if you look.
I think had them as like literally 16th or 17th, where one is hardest, 32 is easiest. But I couldn't.
Oh, I thought I saw them towards the bottom.
Now that was not, I don't think, taking into account like time of rest and all of that. So maybe it's different when you account for, you know, how often you have to go from Sunday to Thursday and travel.
Is it true they play Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve?
They definitely play New Year's Eve.
I don't think they play Christmas.
Christmas Eve.
Vikings.
Someone's birthday, yeah. I know.
Who's that? Jesus?
Yeah.
Yeah? Why, who else?
Mary Beth.
Are you looking it up?
They play both. Yeah. They play home versus Detroit and home versus Green Bay. Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve. And then New Year's Eve game, Sunday Night Football.
We might have to be in Minnesota for Christmas then.
Let's not get crazy.
They might play. Oh, no. Never mind. That's Monday Night Football.
Who do they play on Monday?
They have two Monday Night games.
They do?
So here, yeah, they have five primetime games. Which
oh, my God. Well, there's five losses.
Here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say. Three of them are at home. Still. And one is on the road, but at Denver. And Denver stinks. So maybe. It might probably won't matter. But they play. They're at Philadelphia Thursday Night Football week
Well,
two.
We can skip that one. We know.
But that was a loss anyway, so that's actually good. Yep. I'd rather the automatic losses be the primetime ones anyways. Yep. We'll get embarrassed, but it'll be fine. We get embarrassed all the time.
Yeah.
Then we're home against San Francisco on Monday night in October.
Okay.
That's going to be an ugly game. I mean, who knows who'll be playing quarterback for San Francisco at this point.
Right.
Then we're at Denver Sunday night in November. We're home versus Chicago the following week on Monday. And then Christmas Eve is Green Bay Sunday night.
Wow.
And ESPN has them as 16th strength of schedule.
16th, okay.
Yeah.
The other thing I saw was on Twitter, like some NFL thing, but...
Yeah, I mean, I might have encountered some analytics in there. I don't know. I mean, like... Listen, when you're a number, when you win your division, your schedule's always going to be a little tough the next year. But, you know, we place it. We get to play. Tampa Bay is going to be bad this year. We get to play Carolina, who's going to stink. Atlanta, who shouldn't be very good. I think Vegas is going to stink. Like some of the non, you know, the out of conference, out of division games are pretty soft this year. So I don't think they win, you know, 13 games or whatever again. But I think they win. I think they win nine. Well, we'll break it down as we get closer. I think they're still going to trade like six guys, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, they if you look at it, they do have some easy team. Well, I mean, I don't know if anything's
like,
easy.
When you Denver's a good example. They should 100% beat Denver, but they have to go to Denver.
And Oakland.
Yeah, Oakland, they should beat Oakland.
Atlanta?
I mean, Vegas is what you mean, by the way.
Good point.
They also get to go to Las Vegas off the bye, which is good. And the bye comes at a good time. It's they have to go to Denver and then at home against Chicago and then get a bye. But more of my story, Denver's a good example. That is a game we should win. Denver will not be very good, but they do have to go to Denver, which is tough no matter what. And it's on in prime time, which is, as we know, not our strong suit. But other than that, it's at Carolina. That should be pretty easy. At Atlanta, that should be pretty easy. And at Vegas, like if those are your three kind of non-normal road games plus Denver, like you should be able to win all, if not two, of those games. So it's not the most difficult schedule.
And they don't really play in cold weather. I guess Cincinnati might be the coldest, but
I mean, at Denver in November could be a little chilly.
Yeah, could be 80 though. It's weird.
It could be. That's true. It's Denver. It could be. Okay, we have we have a couple minutes. I want to throw an idea at you guys.
Yeah, I'm ready.
This is not meant to be in comparison to the Gobert trade, which I think we would all agree is at worst catastrophic, at best hasn't worked out very well.
Well, we got 12 more years, but go ahead.
Well, it's part of what I'm about to say.
Oh, all right.
I'm here to say I think there's a potential that the Kevin Durant trade turns out to be worse.
And I think he's cancer, but go ahead.
Well, that's part of it. He's only won with that Warriors team.
Correct.
They gave up more picks than we did. They gave up three first rounders, two swaps, and two second round picks. That's more than we gave up. Now, you should for Durant, but let me finish. They also gave up Mikal Bridges, who is a borderline all-star in Brooklyn and might only continue to get better. They gave up Cam Johnson, who is an incredibly valuable depth piece. And Durant... 4 years older than Rudy Gobert, and on top of all that, Phoenix was already a borderline championship team. So if this doesn't work, they didn't just go for it and not get it like the Wolves did. Well, you know, they were a fringe, but they only got to play, you know, six more games than the Wolves. So I'm not saying I wouldn't have given up more for Durant, but I think when you start to include all the variables and saw how poorly that team played, they barely beat a Kawhi and PG-less Clippers in the first round. They, every game, they had to play 45 minutes a game. If it doesn't work out, they've wasted more important years with a all-world level player that is Devin Booker because they just thought this was the piece. And Durant is older. He's going to fall off quicker. And they have nothing around those guys. So and they have one more year to probably get it right. They have one more year to get it right. But if not, I think it. I think the trade is more catastrophic for that franchise than the Gobert trade would be for us.
Well, ironically, and then Sam will have an opinion on this. Ironically, the one that might be tied for them is his best friend Kawhi. They didn't even make the playoffs.
Sure. Yeah, they did. Kawhi.
Dallas made the playoffs.
Oh, you. Kyrie.
You mean Kyrie?
What did I say?
Kawhi.
Oh yeah.
Who they beat? Kyrie. Which is probably why it was in your head. But
Kyrie.
Kyrie,
that might be tied because he completely took that franchise. These two guys took two franchises right in the toilet. Now, at least Phoenix had a fighting chance. Dallas never did.
Did they? They just got blown up by 30 again.
No, you're right. So I don't know. I think those two guys are just poison, and I might be a tie, but Sam can have an opinion on it.
I still don't think the Gobert trade was that bad, considering Cat was out 60 games. Gobert was hurt all year. Yeah. We had Russell, who was
a little
awful.
Early to say, to be fair. So that I'm trying to not be too optimistic for once, but I would agree with that.
Would you trade?
Your point, I think the Kyrie trade is the worst out of the three if we're discussing the KD, Kyrie, and Gobert trade. And I don't know what Chris Paul, I think, needs to quit. I understand he got hurt, but he's faking his injury, definitely. and how does KD and Devin Booker put up that big of a goose egg in an elimination game? Booker got blown up by 30 last year at halftime.
Two straight years, yeah.
So, I mean, I think he's really good, but if you look at a guy like Jason Tatum, was 1-for-16. And then all of a sudden, they go down in the fourth quarter. He catches fire and goes like 3-for-4 from three and carries them to a victory. A guy like that has something in him. Does Booker may not have that in him.
I think Booker does, but I think the difference is in the teams of the Celtics were good enough and the Sixers were disinterested enough and unprofessional enough to allow Boston to stay in that game. Marcus Smart had one of the greatest games perhaps of his career. Jaylen Brown had a solid game. They played great team defense, and Philly was a bit disinterested, I think. And that kept them in the game that still gave Tatum that chance. Booker had all-world games to barely beat the Nuggets twice at home. And when he didn't have it, and when Durant, at 34 years old, starts to lose his legs a little bit late in the series in the second round, there was not a single individual, except for Campaign, who is the second coming of Steph Curry last night for some reason, not a single other individual on that team could A, stop the Nuggets, or B, score. I mean, they have like Landry Shamet, and I get Ayton hurt, but they weren't that good with Ayton in the lineup. Chris Paul being hurt probably makes a difference in a way, but Shamet couldn't score. Okogie doesn't even play for them anymore. They have TJ Warren, Terrence Ross. They have these guys that don't even belong on a regular season roster in many cases in major contributing roles. Stuck out there playing because they got rid of every ounce of flexibility on a roster they had for Durant at 34. And because of that, he has to play tons of minutes. And I just think they have one offseason to figure out what those two guys need. And if it doesn't work, Paul's going to be old and gone. Durant's going to be old and gone. You'll have lost 2 years of Booker's absolute prime. Ayton's going to leave anytime soon if they don't just choose to get rid of him. And then you have no picks. At least with the Wolves, Gobert is 4 years younger than Durant. That's crazy. And Gobert will, as he ages, be okay with a reduced role. Durant's not going to be okay with that.
All right, so some form of this show will be on next week. Stay tuned to the hottest radio show on the planet, Connor Sherman, right here on WFN News. We are family.
get our shit.